Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to episode 82 of the Kevin's Barbecue Joints podcast. And in this episode, I talked to Dusty Miller from Miller Smokehouse in Belton, Texas. This one is just awesome. He and his brother Zach are just, and their sister and their mother, the whole family, it's definitely a family affair, they're putting out amazing barbecue, amazing desserts. They also have a counter with bacon and snack sticks and summer sausage, and it's interesting because it's a great conversation with Dusty, and he does talk about the fact that he wasn't planning on living in Belton always. He had planned on moving to a bigger city or just moving out because he grew up in Belton, and like everyone else, they want to leave the city that they grew up in and, you know, forged their own way. But he found his way back, and we talk about the family's deer processing business and how that transformed into a small little barbecue business, and then how that grew into what Miller Smokehouse is today. You can just tell that it's a passion business. He's very customer service minded. The family's very customer service minded as well. I know you're gonna love it. And we also talk about their future plans and how they're going to grow their business. If you're liking these, please subscribe. That way you get all the back episodes. I believe only 20 episodes are online at any time unless you are a subscriber. So that would be really cool if you did. I know there's a lot of great episodes that I don't want you to miss out on. I have a YouTube channel at youtube.com/kevinsbbqjoints. I also have a website at kevinsbbqjoints.com that has links to all the podcasts, has links to all the YouTube shows, all the different barbecue tours, barbecue photos from barbecue restaurants, lots of cool content I know you're going to dig. But enjoy this. Thanks so much. Well, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I am great. How are you?
Great.
What's a usual day for you?
Well, for me these days, so we're 7 days a week, and we do a whole lot of different things than just barbecue anymore. So I spend a lot of time just bouncing all around from, obviously a lot of coffee. We have a full espresso bar within the restaurant. So we do full espresso bar, basically a pie shop. We do all of our smoked and cured products in the meat cases.
Yeah, that looks so great. I want to talk about that. That looks great.
Yeah, that kind of comes from, so when before we did barbecue, my dad actually used to do deer processing.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of we make all of our sausages in-house. And so we do like beef jerky and all of our snack sticks and some other just smoked and cured things, summer sausages and things like that. We've been making bacon pretty regularly as well.
And that bacon looks gorgeous.
Thank you. It's good. All of those products kind of come from a prior world when we used to do all the deer. We've 2 years now, we've been out of it, but we did it for like 14 or 15 years.
And what's interesting, because I come from California, and a lot of people that watch these are not from Texas or a state that has deer processing. I drove around and you'd see a sign that said deer processing, and I didn't at first really know what that is. That's if you kill a deer, if you're hunting, you kill a deer, you bring it to a deer processor, and they break it down for you, right? Isn't that?
Yes.
Essentially.
Yes. Basically, you go out, you shoot a deer, and you gut it, and you bring it in, and it's we turn it from an animal laying there into a nice, beautiful vacuum-packed, portions of whatever you'd like to eat.
Yeah, a lot of stuff you could freeze and eat over the year. That's cool. Oh, that's interesting. So did you learn that craft too? Is that a?
I learned a little bit of it. I honestly didn't want too much to do with the deer processing. My brother really took to it, and he spent a lot of years.
Behind
cutting up countless animals.
Oh yeah.
Started with all the most like redneck things. We used to joke it was the redneck trifecta of processing, taxidermy, and barbecue.
That's true. That's so funny.
That's how we did it.
Well, I'm glad you're in barbecue now. So that's great. So yeah. What was your background? What did you go to school at all for? Go to culinary school or any cooking school?
I'm a CPA by trade.
Oh, okay.
So everything we've done has been like trial and error.
Cool.
So when we started, I was actually the summer after my freshman year in college, I went to my dad who had this deer processing business, which was seasonal. And I was like, hey, Dad, we should start a restaurant in the off season because you have this equipment that's not being used. So we literally started making some like sausages and boiling them like in a crock pot on a plastic table. And that was Miller's Smokehouse.
Like in a storefront or something? Did you just rent a little space or?
It's terrible. It was in the tiny front area of a deer processing and taxidermy shop. basically, if you think of everything that you shouldn't do when opening a restaurant, that's kind of how we started.
Okay.
So we like went to Sam's, got a got a little refrigerator and some cans of soda and some sausage wraps, and we were a restaurant. And so we had no experience and no money. We borrowed a barbecue pit and we started cooking like one brisket a day.
Okay.
And it wasn't very good, I could tell you. Like we were just learning. And so that was in August of 2008. And so we just kind of continuously evolved and changed, and we Craigslisted a business together. I mean, like we had all kinds of mismatched pits out in the alley, and definitely friends and family all helped us, you know, learn and pull it together and make it happen. And I guess luckily Belton was such a small community at that point that, you know, that customers were forgiving enough to let us keep cooking until we learned how to do it a little better and a little better.
And your customers were essentially your friends or people that you knew in the town.
Hey, let's text some people to come eat a sandwich. Like it was super like small, and we still have a lot of those original faces though that come in.
That's great.
All the time.
Were there any other barbecue spots in Belton? I know Round Rock is.
Yeah, there's a few and some successful ones that have been around for a long time. So
okay. I'm trying to think.
The hard part of guys down the street that just decided to start cooking. So it was...
when did it get to the point where you said we need to start moving to a bigger location? Was that in 2014, 15?
Well, yeah, so right I guess 2012 we did a small expansion and that's when we moved our deer processing, and so we knocked out a wall and had kind of like a more of a something that would resemble a restaurant. And then prior to Texas Monthly coming out in 2013, I had a feeling. I was like, man, I think there's a chance we're going to make that list. And I, you know, really hope we do. So we went ahead and did an expansion before the list.
Ah.
And so in April we expanded, and they released the list, I think, in May on Twitter or something like that. And if we hadn't, it would have completely changed our entire trajectory, because we basically doubled our capacity right as the list came out. And so we got to capture, like, our business just completely changed overnight. Like, it was night and day. It was the single biggest, like, change in life and in our – it changed our family, really. It changed everything.
Isn't that crazy? So, isn't that amazing? Like, people – even – a lot of people don't know, even people in the barbecue community, how powerful the Texas Monthly magazine is for Texas barbecue joints.
Yep. And especially if you're coming from, like, you know, if you've not been found, you're not established – you know – for us, there was so much upside, and it was like, I don't know, we'll always be thankful for that. Wow. That list.
And so at that moment, like, were there lines? Like, people were coming from outside of Belton for sure, right?
Sure. It went from being, like, busy with, like, some locals, you know, you got your buddies and stuff, to, like, okay, we got to make some operational changes because we weren't ready. So, you know, yeah, we weren't ready at first. We got more than we could handle, but... you know, we just kept on trying to become a little more efficient. And
were you open 7 days a week then?
We weren't. We were 5 days a week then. And we tweaked the hours, I guess a couple of years ago, 2015, we changed the hours to 7 days a week, which we actually found was easier than five.
Really?
Just because you just keep everything rolling. And,
oh, yeah,
and,
that's true.
It was good. So we closed a little early. We opened 11 to 3 on Sunday through Thursday. And so it's 11 to 3 or sold out, and then we're done. And then Friday, Saturday, we stay open until around 9, longer days. But
are you getting people in at like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, or 7, 8 o'clock?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Wow.
We sell coffee and pie and all kinds of stuff too. So we get a lot of people that will actually come in and not get barbecue. They'll just get like coffee and pie.
Really?
It's been the crazy. Yeah, I think last month we sold, it was three times as much pie as beer.
Whoa. That's crazy. That's really great. And that's a big sign. That says that people are digging your desserts, because your desserts look incredible too online. It's just, I need to come. I need to visit. So at that point in 2013, what were you serving? Was there anything different on your menu? Are there different specials now? Are there things that are different?
We used to do the full spares and only do them on like Friday and Saturday.
Okay.
And we messed around with some baby back. We've gone just to a competition cut St. Louis style.
Okay.
7 days a week doing ribs, and we've added just a few meats. We didn't used to do turkey, but the same basic stuff. We just we feel like we've increased our quality and our consistency since that time, even pretty dramatically. Just I guess through, you know, trial and error, tasting it, and getting some really helpful bits and pieces of advice from people in the business as we've gone. So because we started as just naive people that we didn't. It's not like we had this great restaurant background. We're like, hey, we want to do this killer barbecue joint. and here's our business plan.
Yeah, you've been dreaming about it since you were five. It's not something like that.
It found us in a weird way, and now we can't escape it. It's like it's our life. I don't want to do anything else. This is awesome. We can't leave it. It's not just a number. It's something that's part of our personality and our. It's an obsession, you know. It's what we do.
Well, yeah, and it shows, and it probably will be something that you'll pass on to your children. Like it'll be something, hopefully, that you can kind of.
It'll probably be vegans or something. You can't control.
You never know. Yeah, you never know. You never know. They could catch the bug. All they have to do.
There's no pressure on them. If they want to work, they can earn it. If not, they can go. So.
Well, they could watch this and then say, like, you know, I can't believe I actually went into the same business.
Yeah.
So when did you get those beautiful smokers? And so 2015 is when you moved to the. So 2013, you blew up essentially, and then.
We actually around that time we bought there was a flower shop next to us, so we bought the building next door, and then we had all of our pits lining the alley, and we were like prepping meat over here and making sides here and bake, and everything was going across the street, and it was like this terrible inefficient. There's like pits, trailers, and pits on the ground, and every once in a while we'd borrow a forklift and like rearrange the pits. You know, the neighbors were always like calling the city, and it was really like you always felt like you were out in the open, exposed, and like watching your back to see who was, you know.
Yeah, that's a terrible feeling too. Yeah, you just want to run a restaurant. Yeah.
So we bought the building that we currently occupy. We bought it very end of 2015. And then so we built that out. We had to get, there was multiple tenants in it. We had a long time. We thought we had a good timeline, but it went down to the wire. We basically, after demo, had 120 days to do, I'm talking full roof, all new HVAC, all new plumbing, like all new, everything, full electrical system. And we were losing our lease actually at our old location. Oh, so we had to be out by, the end of the year. We opened on New Year's Eve.
Whoa.
Now, it was like it was completely. And we were broke. We destroyed the budget, so it was fun. But it's been a good move. We moved like 70 yards down the street, and it really helped our business. I mean, we've been a lot busier since moving.
What's your capacity now? Like,
we can comfortably right at just shy of 150 can be comfortable. But we can move pretty quick. We have a lot of our back end space is a lot bigger.
Okay.
Than the dining, really, because we do 20% of our business is off-site catering.
Okay. Wow. Is it pretty much local catering, or do you guys?
Within an hour radius. Okay. So hospitals and businesses and a whole lot of weddings. People just keep getting married.
Yeah, you can't stop them.
You don't have to do this. We can still cater for your friends and family, but they just keep on going through with it. So
wow, that's so interesting. And catering for any business, catering can be a great, like it's a wonderful thing for businesses that can do it. Definitely financially it's smart. It's a smart part.
You got the pits rolling, you just throw a little extra meat on there, and you know, it's good.
So do you guys have anything like live music?
You know, we did for a while, especially in the new location. We built a stage and we were doing it, and then we just kind of realized that we would really rather sell pie than beer. And so we were opening till midnight, and then it was 11, and then it was 10, and then we were like, you know what, let's just focus on the family vibe. So we close at 9. All of our staff are out of there by 10.
That's
at the late of the week, as far as our front of house staff. And we just kind of keep it. That's the atmosphere that we were going for.
Because it turns into something different, right?
We weren't enjoying it as much. And so we were like, let's sell some pie and food and go home.
Yeah. How many smokers do you have? You have 4, like 1,000 gallons?
1,000 gallons now.
5,000 gallons? Did you guys make them yourselves, or did you get them?
Yeah, so we had some help from some friends, but yeah, we built them. We subbed out some of the welding and stuff like that. But yeah, we built those right before we moved. I guess during construction, we were finishing building all of them, so we could stick them in the back of a 120 something year old building. So it was we removed all the roof assembly of part of the building and opened it up, and we used all the roof assembly to build all the tables and a lot of the chairs and walls.
Oh, that's cool.
And so we have it's basically a freestanding pit room within the building, with all the firewalls and everything else. So
wow, it's a gorgeous. From what I've seen, and I've seen some people tour it too. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful.
If you come from an asphalt alley where it's really hot and there's no shield from the elements, you kind of start. A roof is just a really nice thing to have.
No, it definitely helps you. So what was it like with the second? Were you in the top 50 twice?
Yes. So the second time it was still great. We saw a lot of people going around with their passports. The only difference was we had 7,500 square feet and we knew they were coming.
Okay.
So we were prepared, we were staffed, we were cooked, we knew what was about to hit us. And so it was an enjoyable experience. And you just, you know, you, it kind of reconnects you with your friends in the industry and you see people from all over the state. It's really cool. Like I said, the first time we were super thankful for it, but we got our butts kicked for sure.
Yeah. Do you think that people still don't know about you guys? Like, are there still people that come in and they are blown away because there's names that people keep throwing around, but I feel like you guys are putting out such, well, like it's almost like a secret gem at times.
We get it all the time. I don't know. We're in Belton, you know, so, it's between Austin and Waco, and yes, we feel like that's a positive and a negative. You know, it's a different market,
mm-hmm.
but we get people all the time saying, "I didn't know y'all were here."
But then they keep coming; they'll come back, which is great. Like you get to wow them, and also too the fact that you have the desserts and the coffee and all that. It just seems like it becomes a destination that I must stop if they're going. Can they go from Austin? How far away are you from Austin?
We are like 1 hour from downtown Austin.
Oh, that's perfect. And then from Dallas?
Dallas is a little over 2, right at 2.
Okay.
So it's a good location. We can, for us, you can go to Houston, Dallas, or Austin all within a couple hours. San Antonio. I mean, it's just, we're right in between everything. So we get a lot of people that they may be consultants or business people that travel a lot down the interstate. They come through Belton. So once they find us, we'll see them random Saturdays all throughout the year when they're going home. But
that's perfect. That's awesome. That's also too, like if people are putting together a barbecue run, if they're in Austin coming up to Dallas, they need to stop. That's a perfect place to stop.
That's right.
Is Belton known for anything else?
We've got a few lakes, a few parks, a bunch of nice people.
That's all you need, right?
Yeah. It's good. It's small town America. Again, it's a place that I never thought that I would enjoy, but now I'm like just popping out babies and living here. So I don't know. It's, I guess God has a sixth sense of humor or something.
That's a great quote, and it's true.
I'm sitting here eating my words.
Yeah. So what and sausage wise, what, how many sausages do you guys make?
We normally keep 3 on the menu at all times, and then so my brother, he rolls out like every few weeks. He'll just do something that he feels like, whether it's a lamb, a Greek sausage, or a boudin, whatever he wants, he'll just do it. So 3 at all times, and then you'll just show up, and there'll be something that we felt like cooking.
Okay. And what are those 3 that generally are there all the time?
We have our original. It's like a Polish blend, just a Central Texas sausage. Our hot link, and then we have our jalapeno and cheddar.
Okay.
So, and those are all recipes that really almost identical to what we did during deer processing.
Oh wow!
So the recipes have been with us for, I mean, gosh, coming on 18 years, something like that. It's been a long time.
What items do you sell in the case too? Because it was a bacon, and you have the summer sausage, right?
Snack sticks, which is like, you know, like what a Slim Jim was intended to be. We do some cured sausages just to take home that are kind of, we smoke them and cure them. Yeah, the bacon. We do a lot of summer sausage, which is a brisket picnic blend that's just, it's great. You slice it, it's shelf stable. We take out the lake with a pocket knife and go put some mustard on some white bread and eat it. So those are the biggest, you know, the summer sausage is pretty popular.
And that's something definitely they need to. And when they come in, they would see that case, right? That's right there.
Exactly. Excellent. So you should be staring at, you know, like bacon and sausages and pie when you walk in.
I think that's pretty unique because you don't see that a lot of different barbecue places. And especially it's more of like, I guess it's still kind of in the butcher and deer processing mindset.
But yeah. And behind all those cases, that's where we do all the baking. And so that's where my mom, we all call her Mama Miller. She stays back there and she's like the cleanest, sweetest person. So we figured that we'll stick her behind the counter open. So that, you know, at least she'll be sweet and nice to people.
Are you guys not nice and sweet?
Yeah. Well, we're not.
No, I'm just joking. But now, what desserts are you guys making?
Oh, my gosh. It changes all the time. We're about to roll out a new sweet potato pie. That's awesome.
Oh.
We sell, I mean, there's, it changes. We always keep a few cookies. We've been doing a strawberry cheesecake pudding. We do our banana pudding. We make homemade wafers for it. I mean, chocolate cream pie, buttermilk pie, it rotates. So I try to keep them from making like too many things at once because they'll just get crazy. But yeah, it's all just good old homemade pies.
Wow, that's awesome. I'm so proud of you guys too. Like coming from something obviously that wasn't going down this road. And what would you tell people if they were, say they're watching this and they're interested in opening a restaurant someday, or are there any things, like any little tips that you can give them that to look, or things, the pitfalls to look out for, or just realize it's a lot of hard work? And
It's a lot of hard work, but I think number one is like making sure that you do have a support system, whether that's, you know, your friends, your family, and some sort of partners that know what they're doing, having people that want to see you succeed. I think that one thing that we've learned is, and barbecue is a cool community that does talk, don't be proud, like talk to people, like be open, and have communication, because there's always somebody out there that can teach you something a lot faster than you can learn it, like by being really stubborn for years mm-hmm. and years. That's a lesson we've learned the hard way sometimes. And so I think letting your guard down and just talking to people, meet people that are in the restaurant industry but not in barbecue, and see what they have to trade as, you know, tips and tricks. And it's a business, right? Like it's a passion, and it's a food, and barbecue gets a reputation of being something that's just it's almost just an art, but it's an art that you can really lose money in really fast. And so yes. Balancing all those parts and knowing what you know and what you don't know. There's been some people that have really been great to us as far as just open.
So that's a great tip, because I think that a lot of people, they kind of feel like they're going into something and they know what they're doing and no one else can help them. And that a lot of those restaurateurs fail because they're not sharing things with each other. Like the barbecue world also has people think that there's all these secrets when they're really, maybe it's in the competition world, but not in the barbecue restaurant world. You can tell someone
high quality meat. Everybody's using a similar seasoning blend. Uh-huh. It's primarily salt and pepper. It all comes down to executing it the same way, mm-hmm. 7 days a week, all year long, and it's clean and it's courteous. And there's as much work goes into slicing the brisket as cooking it. Something, you know, there's all these elements. And for us, it's like, hey, if somebody's having a bad experience, how quick can we get over to them and give them a free slice of pie?
For sure. 'Cause that fixes. Yeah. So, yeah, no, definitely. It means a lot.
Yeah, pie helps. Angry people, you can see them and you can be like, hey, you look like you need some pie. And then you can avoid them leaving and getting on Yelp and going crazy on you. So,
and also too, just showing that you care. If a lot of times, like, you'll feel like something will be bad at a restaurant, and it kind of happens, they'll have a bad day or something, and they don't seem to care. And that's what the worst part. If they show that they cared a little bit, which a piece of pie shows you really care. It's home.
Still so close to the days of, like, I mean, we were broke and struggling, and we're still so thankful for like the growth that, like, we want to give you the how, we want to give you the pie, because we do appreciate you coming in, and we want to see you come in 10 more times as opposed to leaving angry because you weren't happy with something. So
for sure, we try. And then they fall in love with the pie and they come back. And
some of the best customers come from a bad experience.
True.
Like, they come in and they complain, and if you just like treat them really well after that, then they're some of the most loyal, like, awesome customers.
Oh, yeah. Well, like, I grew up in the furniture business. My dad sold furniture, and I did to like, hotels and things. And the people, some of the best customers we had are ones that had the biggest, like, screw-ups and problems. And it's how you dealt with it. And you stuck with them and helped them. Yeah, that's how it is. That's great. I didn't think about that. I haven't thought about that since then. But it's very true. So are you guys going to – you don't want to open – do you ever want to open a second location, or is that
– Oh. We want to do more outside of barbecue. We love Miller Smokehouse, and I'm not going to say we would never mess around with other barbecue, but we it's special to us. And so I think, like, what Miller Smokehouse is, we want to just get better within those walls. Coffee is something we really love. So we want to get into everything from the roasting of coffee and more the retail of coffee. So cool. We've had this full coffee bar built out in Miller's. I just took Chaz, our barista, to North Carolina a couple weekends ago to go to a coffee roasting school.
Oh, that's cool.
We're kind of looking at how coffee not only pairs with barbecue, which it pairs great with smoked meats and pies, but also we feel like there's a need in this area for real specialty coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if people don't like it, I'm still going to drink it all, so I'm not worried about it.
Uh-huh.
But it's – yeah, so coffee – the coffee, the breakfast game, all that kind of stuff is somewhere we're gonna go.
Are you? So what time do you guys open?
So right now we open at 11, which is not great for coffee shop hours, right? You know, most people get their caffeine between 6 and 8. So, but we're, you know, again, we're working out the plan of how we're going to roll that out. So that, yeah, it was, we ordered the La Marzocco and all the grinders and everything for a barbecue restaurant, which I don't think anybody else has done in Texas. but it's really cool to be able to walk in and get like an actual Italian style cappuccino and a half pound of brisket. I think that that's just,
oh, that's awesome.
I don't know why it's not the norm. Cause it's really good together.
Yeah.
But, so yeah, we actually are, I'm sitting right now on the top of our old deer processing shop that we're converting into a coffee roasting facility. So it's going from all kinds of mass carnage to like great smelling roasted.
That is awesome. I can't wait to see that. So that's something that people can look forward to. But right now when they do come in, they can get a great cup of coffee or a great espresso.
There's a lot of great roasters that have popped up in Texas that are doing some really good things. But we want to get involved with the process, and just like with barbecue, you want to know how your business runs start to finish. I think that roasting is going to become for coffee shops to be an authentic coffee shop down the road. You're going to need to roast
for sure,
and you're going to have a kitchen. And so I think everything we're learning plays into that, and we think they'll like it. So I hope so.
Oh, I'm sure they will. Or you can grab some coffee on the way to Dallas or down to Austin. You have a chance to stop, enjoy the town, have some barbecue, get some coffee, and go. That's all. And and with your desserts, coffee is the perfect marriage too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time. We've been trying to connect, so I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to visit. And you're definitely on my list. I would love to tour your pits and everything. And if possible, film all that too, because I think people would dig seeing that from outside of Texas. I really appreciate your passion and where you guys have come from. So that's awesome. Do you guys still is the deer processing completely gone?
It's done. We stopped that a couple seasons ago, and my brother transitioned over to the restaurant. And so with all the things we want to do, it just wasn't part of our long term where we wanted to be. And so we just kind of dropped that and transitioned over to just the whole family focusing on the restaurant side.
How many brothers are there?
I've got one brother and one sister. So sister's in college. She's here for the summer. She works. She's been working since she could walk. She used to work in the deer processing as a little girl, standing on a chair, wrapping up little bags of deer steaks. So it's been just, we've always worked since we were little.
For some reason, I thought there were three. For some reason. Okay. Maybe you guys.
Exactly. My brother. So.
Okay. That's it. That's enough. One brother's enough, right? Well, excellent. Well, have a great rest of your day. Well, thank you, Zach. Thank you, Zach. Thank you very much. Thanks for setting this up. And cool. Yeah, this was great. This is awesome. I really look forward to seeing you guys, meeting you. Thank you. And it was nice to meet you guys here. And I think this is awesome. And I'll shoot it over as soon as it's done.
Cool, man.
All right, take it easy. See ya. Have a good Friday and great rest of the week.